On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Tall Can Sports, only on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. Rob's over there.
Hello.
Rob's bringing us down a little. Hello, caller. You're listening to the Nightbird.
Yeah. Sound of the chimes.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. Let's drink some beer and talk some hockey, man.
Okay, what do you got in mind?
The Junior B Championships in Aurelia. How about that? We are today.
Winchester Hawks. Mm. Junior B champs.
Sock Hawk.
Morrisburg Lions. These are Junior B.
We're keeping her local.
Yep, for sure we are.
Today, drinking from the Stalwart Brewing Company in beautiful Carleton Place, Ontario, just west of Ottawa.
Four lanes right through now, baby. Way yeah. You go. No need to stop.
I think they got a Wendy's now, man.
Oh, look at them.
Crazy.
Look at them. Moving upwards.
Might be Perth. I can't remember. I was, one's got an A and W. One's
Carleton Place Canadians, Tier 2 Junior A.
I'm sorry. I thought we already established we're a Junior B.
Well,
show.
We're B.
The this B. is the B
and,
show.
And the B stands for Bush. Keep it trimmed.
All right. This is another IPA.
Looking around. What the hell is going on here?
Happens a lot. I've forgotten the name of the beer.
Snake Oil IPA from Stalwart.
First impressions?
I haven't had it yet.
Well, drink it, you fucking stunned cunt.
That seems a bit strong.
The beer, too.
Okay, but it's an IPA.
It is IPA-ish.
See, but that's got a bit of that get up in you. That kind of New England
Come
style.
Come on, everybody get loose tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to me,
I get that.
Yeah, that's what this has, which means
so it's, this will be right in your wheelhouse, man.
Yeah, which means it's probably right around 6.5% alcohol. I don't quote me on that.
Good reason to have this one last on our recording day.
Yes.
So we got one more division to work through today before we make our way east. We're in the Central. As we inch our way towards the start of the season on October 2nd, we will, of course, get to the Metro, which I think it's going to be rough, and then come home to the Atlantic, where we always spend way more time than anywhere else, but that's just kind of how it works, right? So, the Central.
Fairly volatile as well.
I think so. Still a lot of moving pieces. The last time around, we hit the Pacific. If you want to check that out and you haven't yet, it's at tallcanaudio.com, or just search Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast. Wherever you're listening to this, you can find that.
Cycle back.
We started in Canada. We'll do that again.
Hey, and if you've even listened to the last one and you liked it, listen to it again.
Yeah, it's true. Tell all your friends.
You do. All two of them.
Yeah, because if you like this.
Yeah, clearly you have none.
Let's start out in Winnipeg. At time of recording, still no Kyle Connor. Still no Patrick Laine. And Dustin Byfuglien is contemplating his future. Hope things are going good for Buff. But
do you think he does that with his left hand or his right hand?
Well, he's a beast, man. I don't really want to think about it.
Okay. All right.
Winnipeg, you know, I'm sure like everybody else, hoping things are good with Buff. But they don't know what's up. And so they've had to suspend him to save the cap hit. It's like he's fine with it. He understood he was going to be suspended. But they need to know before they can sign Connor and Laine if he's coming back or not, because that totally changes their...
And if you look at the left side of their D, right? They ended the season last year with Myers, Trouba, and Byfuglien.
Yeah.
And they're looking at maybe starting the season with none of those guys.
Yeah.
And, well, Josh Morrissey.
Just re-signed to a nice new deal.
Welcome to it, boss. And you sort of go, yeesh.
I think Sammy Niku is the next in line there. Right?
And really, it gets sketchy for them. I like what they got going on up front still, right?
Even without those two?
No. And there's, I was just going to say, there's no way, unless Kyle Connor is holding out for some fat cash.
I feel like he'll be back first.
Right. Well, because as we said, when we talked about in a previous show, I think with the Besser deal, the template is there for the Connor deal.
Really, eh? I'm not sure I see those guys as the same. Like, Connor's got a couple of 30-goal years now. Besser's had a harder time staying healthy.
Yeah, but 26 and 29 goals as opposed to 29 and 31, right? Yeah. I think it's very close.
No, you're right.
And the health isn't there. So I think that's a great template to use.
Shifley and Wheeler will anchor that top line. One of the things that Laine has been bipping about to the media there over from Europe.
Not loving Ladd and Ehlers.
Yeah, well, you know, he's just kind of said, if I was somewhere else, I would be playing with the top players instead of what? Like, what do you... He doesn't want to say it, and it's going to be hard to integrate that guy back in, I think. And all everything going around is that they have a very hard locker room, right? Like, the leadership there is still very old school. You can probably ask Evander Kane about that in his wet jumpsuit.
Yep.
Jumpsuit.
Where is my jumpsuit?
Oh, it's in the shower, you fuckers.
With my wallet and my phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of guys... Or a lot of people talking about that maybe these guys like Byfuglien, like Wheeler, like Little have been hard on Laine as well.
Little, not Ladd. Sorry about that.
Yeah. No. Well, sorry. I assume the good listener.
No, because I get the two confused all the time. I'm not sure why that is.
Ladd's just out there taking up space on the Islanders' cap at this point. You know what, man? If that's the defense they're going to go with, I don't think they'll be anywhere near the top of this division. Now, if Buff decides he's coming back in the first couple of weeks, a lot of people, I had sort of forgotten, referenced Scott Niedermeyer, who after the cup that they won, he didn't come back until like December or January the next year. He decided to take some time off
in Anaheim.
Yeah. He took a pile of time off before he came back. And, you know, if he comes back, then I think they'll be okay. But that suddenly is not a very good defense at all. And Hellebuyck is really, for me, a middle of the road kind of 15 through 10 goalie.
Yeah, he'd like to channel his 2018 stats.
Yeah, of course.
17-18, because 18-19 was not nearly as kind to him.
No.
And I think he's probably somewhere in between those two.
This is one of the things, you know, as we talked before we came on here about which division was going to be tougher to predict. You were kind of saying that the Metro was going to be hard. For me, it's the Central. And Winnipeg is a huge part of that. As we sit here right now, I don't know what half their team is. I don't know who's on it. I don't know who's going to be around for all of it. I don't know who's going to miss half the season, who might miss, you know, in terms of those forwards, when they might sign.
Yep.
They're a playoff team for me if all those guys are back.
They are the last playoff team
for
me in this division.
So you've got them at fifth.
I got them in the five hole.
Yeah, crossing over and going to...
in the Pacific.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's probably about where I would put them.
But how would you like that? That would be a great first round match, Winnipeg-Vegas, if that indeed things
we'll
played out
that
way.
Again, that'd be fun.
That's a great first round match.
Yeah, that'd be cool. In second, well, let me ask you, Well,
yeah. Which way do you want to cover it? Because to me, I'd like to go with the bottom.
Okay. Well, let's move down to the bottom where I have Minnesota.
I also have your Minnesota Wild and their blundering, stupid ass decision making and contract offering.
Finally, punt out Fenton, bring in Bill Guerin, and the first thing he does is give Jarrett Spurgeon
$1 million. Oh, wait. $1 billion.
I like Spurgeon, and I don't mind the number, but it's for too long.
Starts when he's 30.
Yeah, yeah. But he's sort of been a late bloomer. I don't have a problem with him at 7.5. I just think it's for way too long.
But again, the way the league is trending.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, he's starting at his big cash at 30 when everything else in this league is showing
down.
Further down. Younger guys, and by the time you're 30, we're phasing you out.
Yeah. Mikko Koivu,
Eric Staal,
Zach Parise, Ryan Suter,
Zuccarello.
Nobody getting any younger. They clearly decided with that signing of Zuccarello, they still had time to take a run here.
We're doing it now.
I don't think they do, man.
You are not doing it now.
No.
Right? And I looked at this. To me, it was that team is still not a bad team. That team may be pushing for a playoff spot in the Pacific Division.
Yeah. Do you think this is the deepest division?
I think
the worst team here is the best of all the worst teams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe from 1 through 7.
Yep.
Seven teams in the Central.
Matt. Idiot.
that this is the best division. Maybe not the highest of highs, but certainly not the lowest of the lows.
Yeah, no, I think that's true, man. So Devan Dubnyk, he's had a good run there.
Kemper, I think he's backing him up.
Yep. And he has been heroic at times, but I just don't think there's enough. Now,
get on my back. We're going to do this.
Yeah, you're not.
No, we're not.
Worth remembering, though, Matthew Dumba did get hurt kind of midway through the season, he was leading the league in goals for defensemen. So it's not like they don't have anything going on there. I just think this division is so tough and so level, probably, that they're going to come up late.
As you said, when you start looking through, right, their lineup, and you're like, I don't mind that piece.
But when does it fall off? Like, Dumba's not falling off, but when does Suter fall off? Or right. Parise, he can't stay healthy to save his life.
And so that is what I look at this and go, I think they can put some spurts, some nice streaks together.
Yeah.
Minnesota. But to me, they're just trending age-wise.
Yeah.
In the wrong direction for this league, right? If they're not, and I haven't looked at it yet, but they've got to be the oldest team in the league.
Well, that's interesting. That could be true.
Yeah, and again, I'm just blurting that out.
Sure, just throwing it down, man. Let us know at Talkin Audio on Twitter if you think Rob is stupid.
Yeah. Hey, and if you don't, if you do, give us a little context. Bring a little something.
A ton of content out there right now. You better tell us why we're not right here.
Yeah. Because other than that, you know,
maybe hashtag Rob is stupid.
Maybe we can just bring you on air. How about that? If you think you know better,
good listener.
Yeah, and you want to stand up, stake your claim.
Yeah,
do it. Do it.
Man, this division is really interesting. I feel like you could bounce around a lot. What do you think of Chicago? I know you're. If I was to take a guess, you have Chicago next last.
I have Chicago in the six hole, baby. Yep.
Go ahead.
I think it's all got to do with the addition of Zach Smith. Honestly, this is going to nothing but that's what's made the big move from 7
pulling
to 6.
Pulling them down? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Boosting them
just
up.
Just killing it.
They pull out a Vezina nominee.
Yeah.
To tandem with
Crawford, who can't stay healthy. No. Robin Leonard, who we're talking about.
Yep.
Just
that's right.
I think that's a nice addition. And I'm going to say right now, Leonard plays more games than Crawford.
I think
this
by
year.
The end of the day, I think that's true, man. I think that's right. And I thought Dylan Strome last year, almost a point a game in 50 games after he came over from Arizona
with DeBrinket.
Yeah, got a little eerie chemistry going on there.
Oh, it's eerie.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, was that a flash in the pan or did he need a change of scenery? Like, that's a number 2 overall pick, I believe, maybe number 3,
yeah, three.
In his draft
three
here.
In the Marner draft, I think,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, he was 3 right before Marner.
Right. you know, did he just need a change of scenery, or was that kind of a flash in the pan? DeBrincat looks like an absolute steal.
All I do is score goals.
Yeah, honestly, man. Taves is clearly offensively not what he once was, but he's still got a lot to bring. Kane continues to bring it. And they've totally remade that defense. They bring in Olimata and...
Calvin DeHaan, Calvin DeHaan, they brought in.
We'll see, yeah. He's a little like Del Zotto, maybe not quite
low. But this is leaving... I believe he was in Carolina last year.
Yes, that's right.
But they have him down low.
Yeah.
Right? You still have Seabrook in there somewhere. I think they have Seabrook and DeHaan playing together maybe in that 5-6 spot.
Dope.
But really in terms of...
They got a Swedish kid whose name escapes me right now, who's not too bad on Gustafsson, I think, is the kid's name. He's a pretty hard-shooting defenseman that they had playing with Keith a little bit last year. So they've totally overhauled the defense, and they got... Jeremy Colleton, now the young coach, this will be his first full year with where he's making the picks out of camp and stuff. So we'll see. And there's still a lot of talent there. I'm a little afraid of how low I have them.
Yeah,
I think they could come up a little bit. But that would almost all of it would have to land on Leonard doing what he did last year.
And I agree with you. To me, they were a last place or a second last place team regardless.
Yeah.
Then I started looking at the lineup, and I'm like, man.
There's some pieces.
There is some nice pieces there.
Yeah.
The problem is where they situate in the division, right? They have to get past somebody in front of them.
Yep.
And I just don't see, unless they can jump up and bite Winnipeg's ass.
Well, and we'll see. How long do some of these guys sit out?
Right. Because, as I said, Chicago, the second half of that year, after they made the change,
yep.
they trended for the rest of the year in a very positive fashion.
Right.
So that is the thing. I just think the other five teams are still, now that's counting on Winnipeg having
all their
pieces.
Yep.
That the five teams in front of them are a cut above.
Right.
In my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's true. Right. I think Winnipeg could fall if they don't. And by the time this comes out, maybe that's all been resolved. We know what Bufflin's doing, but at time of recording, a ton of question marks.
Do you think Bufflin will come back?
Yeah, probably around Christmas.
Do you see anybody stepping away from whatever it is, 16 or 18 million bucks?
No.
No. I don't know how much money I have to make before I go 18, 16 million bucks, whatever it is. I don't need it.
I don't need that.
Are you kidding me? Come on, man. So
it cost you a lot to make me live in Winnipeg, though.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think the taxes are probably unforgiving. But I see him coming back as well.
Yeah.
And
these kids will get done.
But I see Connor coming in. I see Line A stretching on.
Yeah.
Now, I have said in the past, I was on record saying Tkachuk will be the last one signed.
Right.
I think I may be vacillating a bit and saying the guy who's standing over there in
throwing barbs.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see Paul Maurice? They were, for those who missed it, Patrick Line A, like I think I referenced earlier on, said, you know, if I was in another place, I'd be playing with our team's top guys. And so after one of the exhibition games, a Winnipeg reporter asks Paul Maurice about like one of their like sixth line guys. Like, what did you think of his performance? Like, I don't know. Is he asking to play with our top guys?
Yeah. Well, Paul Maurice is, as you
he's
know,
he's got like, a little,
he's quick, right? He's got a little wit to him.
Yeah. But Kevin Cheveldayoff, he seems patient, right? I don't think he's going to do anything crazy.
They had him on Ottawa radio quite a while, like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And yeah, he just seems even keeled.
Right.
Right. Like he's not going to get, and that's the way he's built that team.
Yep.
Right.
No, he doesn't trade. Well, you know, he doesn't do a whole lot. There was a joke a year or two ago. I can't even remember now that it wasn't even a Twitter thing. It was a media thing. It wasn't Kevin takes all day off. It's Kevin takes all summer off. Like he doesn't add that, whatever.
Forget it. I'm just kicking the feet up on a hammock, snoozing.
Right. So,
where do you see this going then? So we have almost,
far. Minnesota last, Chicago sixth right now. Winnipeg, if they don't get their shit together quick, to me, Chicago could jump up and get to them.
And so to me, this is where it gets interesting, right? Yeah. And I would be surprised, for those of you, Matt and I do our looking at our research independently. We come at this as our own men.
Independent.
So
Throw your hands up at me. Sorry.
The hell you
do it. Throw your hands up at me.
Throw my hands right at you.
maybe throwing hands.
Yeah,
at you.
We could get behind that maybe. But
who do you got in four then? Because we both have Winnipeg in five.
You know what? And it's I have Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, I like what they've done. And they let Soderberg, who they overpaid to begin with, go to Arizona, but they replace him with Nazem Kadri. That's an upgrade. They maybe, if Rantanen gets in there quick enough, have the best line in hockey. And I don't know what I think of their defense, especially without Barry, because it's going to be young, but it looks long-term, it looks really good.
Yeah. And,
really
and,
good.
And so they let Barry and the money go and the redundancy, I think, that Barry comes up.
Yeah.
And I'm not disparaging.
No. They have younger pieces that they think can do that job.
And they just keep drafting them.
Yeah.
I wonder... to me, I love the addition of Kadri to that lineup, right? You deal from a position of strength, which a couple of years ago we laughed at their defense corps, right? Which may have potentially had...
What was his name? The big fucking...
Jared Cowan.
They had three defensemen under contract.
And you sort of go, wow, going you into suck. Camp. Yeah. You suck. But you look at what they did, and they just blitzed Calgary in the first round.
Yeah.
And the way they play the game, they're not going to surprise anybody.
Not anymore.
But I think the beauty of playing at that altitude is...
Yeah, it certainly helps.
They play with such pace, and teams roll in there.
Gassed.
And they just get gassed by the late in the second.
Half
and,
of them are coming from Vegas, so they're gassed anyway.
Yeah, and so to me...
But like Samuel Girard, part of that big three-team deal. Kale McCarr had 6 points in 10 playoff games. Pretty fucking good.
I am super intrigued to see how that guy...
But Samuel Girard was the guy that not a ton of people had heard of, right? He was the Nashville kid that went in as part of
the Duchesne.
Yeah, that three-team deal with Turris and Duchesne. And Colorado was not doing it until they got Samuel Girard. And I honestly didn't know much about the kid, but he has already turned into essentially a top pair kind of guy. So... You know, I don't love their defense, but it might be a case that I don't know enough about it.
When does Johnson just fall off the cliff too, right? You just keep thinking.
And they let Semyon Varlamov go. He's an Islander now. They have nothing to protect Philip Grubauer, who had a pretty good playoff, but if you're not totally sold, there's not much there backing him up now, right?
Right. So, and that is the kicker for me. As in so many places, I look at Arizona and Ranta. Right. Yeah. I think a lot depends on his health.
Yep.
And to me, Colorado, without solid goaltending from Grubauer, could fall out of the playoffs here too.
Yep. I think we both expect them to get it, but if they don't, there's nothing there anymore. Like Varlamov was a pretty good safety blanket
insulation.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. And now I don't think Varlamov's great.
I don't either, but I think he was something. He could string together. He was used to starting, so if Grubauer faltered, he could go for three or four or five in a row, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they have that now, so, you know, we'll see. And I expect Grubauer to be fine, but if he's not, that's a team that could tumble in a hurry. Because despite how good that top line is and how optimistic I am about their young defense, there's not a ton of depth up front and... But you know,
they did it on one line last year.
Yes, they did.
Who absolutely manhandled everybody.
Yep.
And again, Calgary was a pretty good team last year. Maybe they overachieved by winning the division.
Yeah.
But they got smoked in that playoff series.
Yeah, couldn't keep up.
It became apparent very quickly. Yeah, see you later.
Beat it.
Where
you got the defending champs?
The St. Louis Blues?
Yeah.
I have the defending champs finishing second in the division.
Okay. So you must be high on Binnington. We know you're higher than I am.
I am, but what helps me with that is they're bringing back a stud decor. There's very little change in that decor.
Almost nothing.
Yeah. Well, they're bringing back 95% of the lineup, period.
The only
period.
Thing really they let go was Pat Maroon and poor
Pat Maroon.
Just can't fucking
local guy.
Anywhere.
You know what, Edmonton? What you up to?
Yeah.
There should be a spot there because Cassian is no Maroon. What a Maroon!
Between Parenko, Pietrangelo, you know, there's some good pieces on that defense corps that are going to anchor and hold that together pretty nicely.
Well, it's what happens with Dunn, right?
Yep.
To me, he wasn't healthy for most of it, but that is just a nice, solid decor, right? All the way down.
And even up front, like, really, Tarasenko is the only true, like, holy shit, game breaker. But just up and down, depth-wise, there's something on every line,
well,
right?
Well, if we can play it however you want to play it, and we can just roll lines,
yeah.
That is...
They got enough skill. They got enough physicality. You know, they can do it. For me, you know, I could easily be proven wrong, and I don't even know if it's wrong, but I'm highly skeptical about Binnington.
Jordan Binnington.
Yeah.
Well, they have the always reliable Jake Allen.
Sure.
No!
Go home.
Yeah. We'd be better if you weren't here.
Right.
Yeah, that
could
is...
Could be. Like, he might be the gem that finally came up and solidified. Like, when you think back of how many different guys over the years, we looked at St. Louis, how many different times went, fuck, that's a good team. And then they'd go out because they had no goaltender, and they'd get Brodeur, and it didn't work. And they'd go out and they'd get Ryan Miller, and it didn't work. And you just couldn't find it. And then finally this kid comes up who's been in the minors for years.
Here I am.
Yeah.
Playing in Providence. They loaned him out.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Maybe they've found the guy, or maybe he's the next Andrew Hammond.
Yeah, we'll see. But and I don't have much time for that, because Hammond ran off that 23-3-3 record.
Sure.
And then got into the playoffs and immediately lost the first two games. And then that was like, bam, fat bastard, crushed the glass slipper.
I guess my only point there is that...
Whereas Binnington had that nice second half and then just rolled in the playoffs and then duplicated it.
I guess if I'm willing to believe that Andrew Hammond can put together three good months, I'm willing to believe that, and still be nothing, that Binnington can put together four and a half good months and be... Well, yeah, okay. That would be... No, you're right. It was January 3rd. They were in last and won it in early June. So it is six. But, you know, I'm not sold that that's for real yet.
For reals. So you have them in third?
Yep.
Okay. See, I have them in second because I just kept looking at that. I had them originally.
All that over one spot.
Yeah, exactly. But see, I originally had them in third as well, but then I kept looking at their lineup and thinking, man, it's good. And if the only weakness you can put on is the guy who should have won the Conn Smythe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Then I'm like, damn, I'm willing to put them up.
Well, and this is the thing, right? Like, playoff hockey, different than regular season hockey. And if they get in third, I don't want any part of them again, because we know the game changes and we know how they're going to play.
If,
like,
if refs aren't going to call it,
right,
that shit's for real.
Yeah, and they're going to be fine. So it's just a question. Like, I don't expect them to miss the playoffs. Obviously, them being in dead last in January was an aberration. I wonder if winning the cup was an aberration, though.
They're not repeating.
No.
I don't believe that. I think the way they play the game is super hard.
Right.
Right? And I think it's taxing. You will not see either one of the teams that were in the cup final be in the cup final again.
Fuck you, Boston!
Yeah, Boston! Yeah, says Matt with a little chip on his shoulder.
No, I'm totally impartial about Boston.
Yeah, totally. I have no feelings. Push those down a little further.
Yeah, we'll get there.
All right, well, so then we've clearly got that. Who do you have winning the division? Is that where you wanted to go with this? Or
yeah.
Because I think we likely differ, says I. I have Nashville in first.
I'm just, yeah, I had a really hard time. I'm not sure that letting PK Subban go and replacing him, obviously in a different position, but with Matt Duchene, I'm not sure if that was a change I was prepared to make. They had an identity there in Nashville, and I know they're counting on Dante Fabbro.
They got huge hopes for Fabbro, and you're talking about him being sliding into that second pair with Ekholm behind Ellis and Josi, and you still have Hamhuis and in behind. Like, to me, that is absolutely dealing from a position of strength.
Yeah.
And I think they're looking at Fabbro does not have to be, he just needs to be 60% or 70% of Subban, because I think what happens when you remove Subban from a situation which he may have sucked up all the oxygen.
Well, this is the thing, right, that we talk about a lot, like with his personality and his brand and his whatever, like, does he wear out his welcome? Is that what's happening here? I don't know, but...
No, I don't know either.
No, but
I'm just saying...
Like, last year, their top point getter was Johansson, and I think it was just, like, high 60s, though. And so they're hoping Duchesne can up that a bit or at least create kind of a 1-2 punch.
Well, see, they're looking at now, if you look at any lineup projections, they're looking at sort of running Duchesne in duos.
Yeah.
Duchesne and Forsberg
yeah.
on the first line. Johansson and Arvidsson in that second hole.
Yeah.
And then further with Turris on the wing on the second line. And then going Sissons and Bonino down the middle.
Bonino.
Right? So Duchesne, Johansson, Sissons, and Bonino. Well, none of those guys, and I know you're not a huge fan of Johansson or Duchesne. Man,
it's good depth.
That is what St. Louis has just done, is what we talked about. Yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of, man, you have Kali Yarncroc on the fourth line on this lineup with Austin Walker and Bonino. That to me is
Watson, yeah.
Is what I call him?
Austin Walker.
What did I say?
No, you said Austin Walker. It's Austin Watson.
Okay.
Anyway.
Walker.
Barely know her.
Tennessee Ranger.
close enough.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
It's too bad it's not his fucking name.
Yeah. I love just the depth. And to me, they have quality all through the lineup. That to me is what's going to bring you. We are talking about regular season.
So you think the trade-off of what they're gaining up front is enough to offset what they've lost on the back?
A quality depth up front.
I'm not dismissing it. I'm just
people may not look at Duchesne as an absolute stud number one center, but he's a
between him and Johansson.
Man, that is a couple of of 1Bs, if you will.
Yeah.
Right. And so, to me, they have nice depth throughout. It's rich, like mahogany kind of quality. Good D. And you know, Pekka Rinne.
You're kind of selling me.
Pekka Rinne.
I still have them in two, and that's sort of where you're losing me is Pekka Rinne. But
okay.
He's getting up there. He's not always super reliable.
And the beauty of this is regular season.
Yep, that's right.
So to me, he is still good.
I know you're skeptical about UC Soros and what he might end up being there.
He's 5'4".
Yes.
So honestly, he's as tall with the double stack than he is when he's standing. So I don't really have any faith in that.
So you're needing Rinne to hold tough, but you're selling me a little bit. I got to be honest, you're moving me a little in that direction with Nashville. But I had them in second.
So you've gone with the Dallas Stars.
I just think this is probably at least at best, Ben Bishop's second last year before he starts to totally fall apart. Now, he had a great year last year. I expect him to be very good again. And I don't know what to expect out of Corey Perry, but I think Joe Pavelski's got at least one or two really good years left in him.
Yep.
And you know, that top line last year had to totally carry the mail with Sagan,
Ben
and Radulov. No one else on that team had more than 30 points. No other forward had more than 30 points. Yeah. So they needed some depth. I don't know yet.
You like what Roope hints? You like that small window we have? Because clearly they're gonna roll him up there.
Well, it's a Dubas thing, right? Like I'm obviously okay with that model. I like what he's kind of done and established himself a little bit. I like Heiskanen and certainly John Klingberg. I don't think he's ready to fall off yet.
And Esa Lindell
is a quality diver.
Okay. But I think he's also super underrated.
I do too. So again, as you've pointed out, these are regular season predictions. I don't know what happens to them in the playoffs, but I like what they've done there. And I expect, and I'd be curious to get your take, like I think Corey Perry gets 25 goals there this year. I still think he's got that in him.
I think I'm with you. And I originally had them in second. And really, I think in a bunch of my sort of pitch and shit against the wall, I've had Dallas in first, second, and third in this.
This is a hard division.
Right? And as I kept looking at it and going, all right, well, how does that stack up? And I like the defense of both St. Louis and Nashville better.
Yes.
Despite Klingberg, who's a bit of a freelance rogue kind of guy.
But I'll take Bishop this year over both of their goalies.
Yeah, if he's healthy.
Yeah.
And
it matters.
Well, because he is, and that's the biggest thing that hurts him, right? Back and groin issues.
His save percentage last year, though, was something stupid.
Crazy, like 935.
Yeah, something ridiculous.
Oh, better than Robin Leonard's, who had an obscene 929 or whatever, 31.
No, I think that's right. So,
but he was killer.
I like them, at least in a regular season sense. I think Jamie Benn, because of that hard style he plays, may start to slow down a little. But I think there's enough there that they can win what is going to be, because of how tight this division is, because of how much parity there is for me in this division, like, there's going to be other divisions where the high teams are just miles ahead of the bottom feeders. I don't think that's this one. And I think at the end of the day, you're going to see Dallas be right there. And I don't think this is built for the long term with Perry and Pavelski and Ben and Bishop.
Sure. Yeah.
I think this could go south in a hurry. But I think this year, I kind of like what they got going on.
Yep. Well, and it's a super interesting division. I look at the depth at all the positions.
Yeah.
And that to me just puts them in third.
All right.
And really, I don't want to hang my hat on Pavelski and Perry as the parts that are going to put me into first in this division is really all I'm saying.
Because I think Dallas was a wild card last year. So you add these two guys in.
And then they pushed it pretty hard against St. Louis, too.
Yes, they did. In game seven, double overtime. And it was about as hard as you could.
Really? Hey, that seems very close.
And Heiskanen will be another year better.
I like that guy.
Yeah.
I like that guy.
Ottawa fans had an eye on him in a big way last summer.
For sure. So. For sure. And then, you know, he's looking at that Shabbat contract saying, all right, I can.
Let's talk.
I can get me some of that action.
Right? For sure.
Coming at it.
So to me, it's going to be an interesting division. I like what Dallas has going on. Like I said, I don't like it long term, but I like it this year. But you could essentially convince me that any of the top three in this division could win it. Like,
yeah.
And even like by the time this comes out, Dustin Byfuglien could have told Winnipeg, yeah, I'm over whatever that was. And they've signed Laine and Connor. And now I'm like, you might win this fucking division.
Yeah, I'm not sure in that case that they're not just pushing Colorado back to five.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man.
I really like the top three teams in this division.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. You brought it here, Matt.
Yeah.
You brought it in this division preview. I think you're a clear second at this table. Mm. But you're bringing it. And I think you may have closed the gap. That's all it is.
I appreciate that endorsement. Fucking guy. That's been Tall Can Sports. We want to know what you think. Let us know your, who do you got winning this division? Any of these divisions?
Yeah, the top three, really, I'm interested in. Yeah, you know what? You read some crazy shit, right? And I go through a bunch of different.
Yeah.
You got people thinking that.
Oh, you know, Minnesota.
Yeah, for sure. I had some people seeing Minnesota in the top three in this division. You're like, are you crazy? Are you high?
Yeah. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Anyways, you read a bunch of shit and you're like, that's crazy.
So instead, you should listen to a bunch of shit like what you just did.
Reasoned.
Yeah.
Factual predictions right here, Tall Can Sports.
The next one, we will hammer down the Metro before we make our way home to the Atlantic. The Metro is going to be another tough one, just like this one. There's a bunch of moving parts this offseason.
For sure. I don't think there's anything as clear as Minnesota in last and Nashville in first.
Okay. You almost had me, and then you lost me there a little bit.
You already said you swayed me.
You've swayed me a little bit.
Yeah. And then you're just
a wild swing.
Your stubborn pride is just sort of, I can't go with that. Fucking forget it. I'm just
you started to fucking call me second place here.
Yeah, I'm going to sit here and wallow in my own feces.
Do you have cameras in here?
How do you know?
Yeah. Let's get out of here, man. That's been Tall Can Sports. We'll see you on the next one for the Metro Division.
See ya.
Listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.